Carr again. Dennis, I know that some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey. What is high sticking?
High sticking happen when the guy take the stick, you know, and he go like that. You know, you don't do that.
You don't do that?
Oh, no, never, never.
Why not?
Against the rules. You know, you're stupid when you do that. Just some English pig with no brain,
Dennis,
at all, you know.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
Welcome to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Got any questions, comments, concerns, give us a call, 204-269-8636. That's 204-269-UMFM.
It's been a while since we had a chance to sit down here and talk a lot of unrelated hockey stuff. A lot of news, a lot of tidbits, a lot of info, a lot of stories to go over tonight.
I'm always excited to talk to guests, but this is, you know, I love talking hockey and talking everything hockey.
We've had a pretty good summer of interviews so far. We're going to take a quick break tonight, though, because there's been lots of stuff that's going on that we haven't got to as we fade out Ed Sheeran's new tune.
A little upbeat. Collab.
A little upbeat on that, too. I like what the Sheeran's doing with that. Yeah. It's got a little rock to it, a little push to it.
Thanks, Skippy, for that introduction.
Want
to
bring
song.
In Skippy on mic 3 tonight because he's going to join us for the whole show here. Skippy, how are you?
Good, good. You're not just about hockey. I've got a lot of pop culture.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
we're hip.
We're hip. We're cool. Speaking about hip and cool, we're going to bring in another guy who's hip and cool as well. So we're going to start off with, I think, you know what, we'll knock off the hockey news information. Not the hockey news, as in the hockey news. But
no intro needed.
No real intro. But yeah, we're going to start on the East Coast because there's been some developments there as we bring John in. John from, there's John's youngsters right there. John, how are you?
Textbook
I'm
John.
Great.
Textbook John right there. Kids in the back.
That's okay. I like it.
I'm getting them away. This is going to be quiet.
For the first time ever, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I know.
That's okay, though, because they're a hit on this show. Like we said last time, there were lots of people that were concerned with the young man's little bump to the face there, and you said everything was okay, so that was good. We updated everybody on the next show, but
he has recovered quite well.
Okay, good. That's all right then. So let's get into this because there's been some moves out on the Isles with the Isles, some stuff that didn't happen with the Isles as well. But we'll start with the move that did happen. Brand new goaltender next year for you guys is Varlamov. He is now going to take over in place of Lehner. Your thoughts on getting Varlamov away from the Colorado Avalanche?
I want to know what your thoughts are on losing.
Wait. We'll get to that.
Yeah. Okay. First off, I think there's a lot to do with Leonard's agent rather than what Leonard did. Leonard said everything right. Leonard also knew that his history was going to figure into whatever his next contract would be. And then his agent, I'm sorry, Robin Leonard's camp came out and said, our starting point is 5x5. And that's when Lou went, nope, and moved along. And you can believe, Lou offered him 10 over 2. Reasonable deal, but you also have to understand he's coming out of his first full year of sobriety. And he said, I know this is going to affect me. Fire your agent, because if this was true that he had a $10 million two-year deal on the table, someone else would have given him that. But nope, he got 1 year, $5 million for Chicago. So, you know, you're not going to have another Vezina finalist year there, pal. I don't know if you know this about their defense. It's not good.
No, it's not.
But it's different.
Sure, different is always better.
Different, yeah. Sometimes better.
Winnipeg's defense is different, too. Hellebuck's not having a vest in the season.
Yeah.
The first part of his name is going to come out of a lot of people's mouths. So, you know what? Godspeed to him.
Yeah.
But if you believe the rumors, the whole deal is that Varlamov and Sorokin, the kid who's playing over in the beer league, and I'm stealing that line from a prominent Isles podcaster because it's a great line.
That's fine.
Sorokin is playing in the beer league. He has the greatest numbers ever seen on Earth. He has one more year committed in Russia, and he's best friends with Varlamov, and they share the same agent. So right there, everyone points to this as, here's the bridge. 1 year of Varlamov Greiss, 2 years of Varlamov Sorokin, if that's that actually happens, and then 1 year, I don't know, you move Varlamov, you have 3 years of Varlamov Sorokin, or Sorokin Varlamov, or...
However it's going to work, yeah.
What? 4 years, 20 million.
So are you, but are you okay with it, though? Are you okay getting Varlamov at all when you had a guy who was fairly solid? And I get that the agent may have screwed the whole thing up, but would you rather have Lehner or would you rather have Varlamov right now?
I'm going to go with Lehner.
Okay.
Only because of the other thing about both guys that we all know that has gone, each one has had some media in the past 5 years. So I'd rather take the guy with the feel-good story. He may fall apart. That's the thing. We don't know if Leonard would fall apart.
Right.
We know that Varlamov has both in his personal life, in his professional life, physically and otherwise, fallen apart. I don't know why he gets this, you know, great double, you know, great second chance in, you know, in his sporting life, and Leonard doesn't. That's, I think, the crux of my argument. But the courts have cleared him. I don't have to, but the courts did. So, you know what? It is what it is.
Yeah, right. And I think that the big thing here is that you still have a Barry Trotz defensive system at play here, which I think any goalie you put in that system can thrive. I mean, you've seen a guy like Robert Leonard, who hadn't had great numbers in the past, come in and succeed in that defensive system. I mean, I think Varlamov could, you know, have a resurgence this year just based on working with Barry Trotz. And I think it'll be either way, whoever plays net, Greiss, Varlamov, whoever, I think the Islanders are built defensively, and any goalie can succeed. So,
oh, remember, Greiss had the nearly identical numbers to Leonard, and he wasn't the Vezina finalist.
Right.
And he's already been there for, what, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we know Varlamov falls apart, you still have Greiss, who you know what you're going to get. So, but you're right. Barry and Mitch can turn anyone into a goalie. Any four of us could be a thriving goaltender in their system. So,
yeah.
You know, rock and roll.
One thing that GM Lou couldn't do, though, was lock up the big guy. No chance as he moves uptown to Manhattan. Artemi Panarin's sort of thumbs his nose at the Islanders, who apparently offered him somewhat the same terms, if not the same terms, but he went uptown to Manhattan to play for the Rangers. Your thoughts on Panarin moving to the Rangers?
He wanted to go to Manhattan. I mean, I don't
disagree with that.
The big lights.
But, no, he left money on the table.
But that's the thing, though. I mean, he basically played the Islanders to get the Rangers. And, I mean, that's not really... I mean, I understand it's not fair, but...
It's part of the game.
It's exactly part of the game now, yeah.
Look.
That he,
I love Long Island. But if I were, what, 26?
Yeah.
26? And no matter what, someone is giving me all the money in the state I'm going to go to, I can have big boy money in a big boy city. I can have big boy money in the suburbs.
Yeah.
I get that, especially for someone who narrowed it down to, I want to live in New York, LA, or Miami.
I've seen his social media recently, and it's he's having fun now.
Yeah, I would say.
You can't fight that. You cannot, and that's one thing I've always always driven me nuts. Lou offered every dollar and year he could. The guy went to live in Manhattan.
Yeah. And that we have that
how
same
do
situation.
You stop that?
We have that
how,
same situation here, right? Like, it's no matter how much money we throw at a guy, it's not as a desirable location as a Toronto, as a Montreal, as a New York Rangers. You know, it's not that desirable to come play here. So if you offer slightly a bit more money, it's not necessarily going to get you the guy. So
the players talk, and so there's sort of an atmosphere. Hey, what's it like, playing in Manhattan? What's it like playing in the
aisle?
Yeah.
So, but the thing that kills me, and this is the part that I would think would drive most players to make a decision based upon the length of their career. Sure, Artemi Panarin's likely going to play for the next 8 years. There's no doubt about that. He's in a superstar. He can score goals. He can put up points. But where are you likely to win is the big question, I think, that would drive me as a player, because now it doesn't matter how much money you make. You only get paid if you win.
Yeah.
Well, they're also going to a team that has Lundqvist is 2 months younger than me, and I'm 37 and a half. So that's math that Panarin's contract cannot change.
Right.
Lundqvist is old as dirt for a goalie. I don't know how Lundqvist has not broken. Let's just be perfectly honest. The man is a freak. How he's had, what, two generally bad injuries in his entire career, and he's drafted in, I wish I could do the Conan voice, the year 2000. Come on.
Yeah.
Time is ticking on a major injury. I don't wish that. I know he's a Ranger goalie, but time is ticking on his health.
But I think I don't necessarily think the Rangers are good, maybe a contender now, but some of the talent that they picked up, young talent that they picked up, Fox, they got Trouba, you got Kako, Panarin.
So here, your defense next year, if you really want to start this right now, if you're going to talk about that then, would be Kevin Shattenkirk, Mark Stahl, Brady Shea, Brendan Smith, Adam Fox, Jacob Trouba. I'm not going to the Stanley Cup with those guys.
No, not right now. Not at that young.
Three of them are over the age of 30 already.
Yeah, yeah.
And one's Kevin Shattenkirk.
Right.
I think they're high on their backup goalie, Georgiev.
Georgiev is going to be likely going to be another good goaltender in terms of what's going to happen there. He looks like he's going to be at least comparable to somebody down the line, like maybe a Lundqvist in terms of the way he plays. He's got that stand-up style. He's fantastic in terms of getting down low, getting wide down low. He looks like he's going to be the real thing. But you go beyond that, I don't... Shesterkin is, I guess, the best other guy they have.
Yeah.
I don't know if Adam Husk is even close to being ready.
Yeah.
If Lundqvist retires, they are putting all of their eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
I didn't even know who those other guys were.
Neither did I. So,
I mean, I know nothing. I know slightly more about the Devils' farm system. I know nothing about the Rangers. Mark your calendars. I'm going to say something nice about the Rangers. They have a better short-term pick with Kako than the Jack Hughes.
I think Kako coming out of the World Championships is the better choice right now. If you want to go with an NHL ready player, for sure.
You mean the last 13 months going up into the combine? Oh, hey guys, I'm just going to go to all three levels of world and win
exactly.
And contribute. Don't mind me. You don't need to know my VO2 score. I got gold. Sorry.
But here's where I look at the Rangers when Panarin signs there. Okay, so Panarin's making, you know, $11.5 million there. Like, he's making tons of money, which is fantastic for him. Mika Zibanejad is probably going to be your first line center this year. Chris Kreider is probably going to play somewhere on the second line, who's got a modified no trade clause. Vlad Namestnikov, Ryan Strome, Matt Beleski, Jesper Fast are your next four highest paid players. And then it's Kaapo Kakko. Like, you're dropping off. The drop-off in terms of talent, Kakko is going to be a star. But the drop-off in terms of talent in those top six right now is significant once you get past Panarin.
Yeah, and like I said, they're not built to win right now. But I think they have some those young pieces in there that have the ability to start this franchise in the right direction.
See, but I look at that and I go, the Islanders have those pieces in play already. Like, yeah. they've got mm-hmm. the good yeah. young players sure. already.
They're built to win now.
They're not even built to win now. They're built to win now, and the window's yeah. still open 4 or 5 years from now.
Yeah, they got lots of money available, too.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me,
they do.
To me, it seems like he may have just wanted as opposed to looking at long term want.
Yeah. And that's his choice, right? If he wants sure. to play at a certain place, he's going to go play in that certain place.
I just think he made a mistake. That's all.
Maybe he doesn't want to win a cup.
We all know he made a mistake. All of us know he made the mistake. But again, coming out of Columbus, even when he was still with Columbus, he tampered himself by having someone in his camp go L.A., New York, Miami. LA, and he said it, and someone on his behalf said it over and over. And like, God, we get it. You want to go live somewhere fun. I mean,
some guys don't care about the winning. They care about the money and the lifestyle that they get to live. So it's,
but this isn't the 70s with Derek Sanderson anymore. Like,
yeah, but why can't it be?
He came from Russia and he wanted the North American lifestyle, which is
living the dream.
You know, the dream is LA, Miami, New York, you know, not Minnesota,
Columbus,
you know,
Ohio. Like
Columbus, Ohio.
I mean, you don't blame the guy. We're talking about
20 miles away. We're not talking about 200 miles away. We're talking 20 miles away.
But even, I don't know much about New York.
Hold on. Are we talking from Coliseum, the Barclays, or from Belmont? Which one's 20 miles
away? Well, Belmont in a second. We're talking right now just in terms of playing in Brooklyn. Yeah. Like, we're not that far away, right? So
that's like 6 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's not where they're going to be in the future.
But the idea, though, is that if he wants to be down, it's not like he's that far from downtown where he's playing.
No,
if he signed with the Islanders, he's right there.
But he signed with the Rangers, and he's right there.
but what's the sexy pick? Madison Square Garden.
New York Rangers. When you go to a hockey game, what big celebrities come to Islanders games?
Here, and John, you'll appreciate this. I'll drop this in. Stanley Cup since 1980, go. Oh, right. Rangers only have one. Mm-hmm. That sucks.
Yeah,
No, let me steal another line from a good Twitter, but a good friend of mine. One cup since the invasion of Normandy.
There you go.
That is the New York Rangers.
I'm not saying the Islanders. I'm not saying the Islanders had to be the smartest pick or the sexiest pick, but you're literally giving up you're literally moving into the same situation only with a better team. I don't understand that.
Maybe he idolized Andy Batchy.
I get the John Davidson tie-in. Like, maybe John Davidson talked him into it because they'd been together at the Blue Jackets. Davidson was team president in Columbus, but at the end of
didn't he acquire him from
Chicago?
He
was a Blackhawk. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then he was acquired by John Davidson. Oh, that makes sense. Also, much like Truba, Truba said, my wife can progress her career in New York. Panarin's fiancée, I don't know. I don't know what their legal status is.
Yeah.
Together.
But
she's a model. I've heard there's modeling in Brooklyn. I don't know.
We'll have to find out. We'll put our investigative reporting on that.
Yeah.
Well, Truba also is with Shay.
Andersley signed. They're not losing a captain. I'm very happy. I bought the T-shirt from Yes Men Outfitters. I was very, very pleased that the captain is staying. That's all. Look, he got more term than he wanted. He got the dollar value Lou was going to give him. Yep. You know what? Let's just move along. It happened. He's staying. It's over. It's good.
I'll be honest. I like where the Islanders are right now, especially with the cap space they do have as well. So things are looking up on the island for sure. What's happening? Speaking of the island, what's happening in Belmont? What can you give us an update on?
Okay, so the environmental impact statement was released with comments. You and I were talking about these comments, and oh boy, was it fantastic. But first off, it's going to happen. The golden shovel is happening, I think, July 18th. Let's say next 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
Okay.
A golden shovel is happening this summer, and that's wonderful. There is also going to be the precursor to the EIS was the first LIRR station, new station built on Long Island in 50 years. for an island that is honestly built off of the train commute culture, it's wonderful. And there will not be any consideration to the beekeepers and other apiaries area. But it's happening. It's just a matter of when. It really is just a matter of when.
That's good.
It's funny, as I mean, I've been reading, I've been trying to get stay up to date on it, get, sort of get everything going or whatever in terms of understanding what's happening there. And whatever, I know they do racing and everything out of Belmont in terms of getting everything going and having some fun out there. But I was reading an article in, I guess it was in Newsday.
Hold that thought. I'll be right back.
Okay. I guess I was reading in Newsday that Andrew Gross wrote, and legitimately, everybody who's there from Belmont, who's a race fan, who's a horse racing fan, thinks this is a brilliant idea. Like, they don't even care.
When you got the horse racing fans on you know, on your side, that's a pretty good deal. They're usually pretty...
Melissa Strafford of Yeah Fink, wherever that is, standing near Belmont Rail and Brilliant Sunday Afternoon, I can envision it as an Islander season ticket holder. We need a stable place
to
play.
I'm still here. Sorry, guys. Not my kids. I'm getting a phone call that I need to pick up. So
that's okay. We need a stable place to play. We need something that's ours. For me, Brooklyn is a hard sell. See, Islanders fans don't even want to be in Brooklyn. No. So let's move them into Belmont and get it going. So
it's state property. It's not county property. That's why this moved. New York Racing Association was on board from moment one because they get upgrades to this.
That's fantastic.
Basically, you've just... I'm calling Winnipeg. You're basically calling in the mob for a favor. If you have the horses on your side, you can get the state on your side.
Well, and it seems like it would bring more people in all year round rather than, you know, horse racing season and that's it, right? Yeah. Then you bring more people all year round.
See, and Andrew Gross in Newsday interviewed like a bunch of these people that were out there, and there was some really good information in terms of the guys, like the race fans that were there. Joe Musillo, who apparently is a huge Islanders fan, gave up his season tickets in 2015 when the team moved from Nassau to Barclays. He thinks that, quote, "I think people on game day, they'll come out to the races early, especially for times that are overlapped, have a couple of drinks, and then go over to the game. I don't see any negative with this. It will bring a lot more people to down to this area," which I think is fantastic. That's exactly what you want to hear, that the race fans, the guys who are already there, are embracing the Islanders and the arena idea in order for them to stay down there longer, spend more of their money, economic benefits, blah 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 blah. This is all I don't see anything but positive so far.
The only negative is in a lot of people's minds that the whole lie coming out of California, of all places, that this whole project was a front for a mega mall on the size and scale of Roosevelt Field. I can tell you that Roosevelt Field is massive. It's several million square feet of mostly parking. I could see it from my dorm room. I worked at the Pottery Barn Kids there in college. It was great. This place is going to be like, what, 300,000 square feet, and is going to be only things that rich people going to a horse race are going to want to buy. If you've listened to a Billy Joel song in your life, he talks about the Miracle Mile. This is going to be shops along the same lines as the Miracle Mile. Oh, that's a $10,000 watch. All right, I'll buy that. What's your cheap one? $9,000. Okay. How much is that polo shirt? $400. Fantastic. That's what it's going to be. End of story. It's people who spend a lot of money are going to go spend more money. That's what it is, and that's what it's going to do for their in the shopping part. You're absolutely right. People are going to go. I've been tailgating. I'm going to go put $20 on a horse. I'm going to go to a hockey game. Then I'm going to take the train home. I don't live there, so I can say there's no downside, but there's no downside.
There may not be no downside, but we can see there's no downside. That's the good idea.
Exactly. I'm still worried about the bees, and there's, God bless the people who are worried about bird strikes and bird fall affecting easily a dozen species of birds that are native to the Nassau County, Queens, Hillsboro area that I had no idea, and I lived there for 5 years.
No, there you go.
So I think the birds and the bees would be fine.
Hashtag birds and bees.
We have to have that talk. I don't know. I'm torn. I really thought there should be a horse incorporated into the inaugural season patch. Now I think it should be a beehive, because if people want to know about the bees, we should put bees in there. But that's just... Yeah.
They can always put them on top of the arena as well. I know there's a lot of buildings here, at least here in Winnipeg. They do a lot of rooftop beekeeping up there. So maybe there's an opportunity for the Islanders to make a little honey on the side.
Make a little honey and a little money.
See? And it also helps reduce heating costs during the winter.
Yeah, there you go.
You have that extra layer of soil and grass, anything up top, so it keeps the heat. See? The bees, if you kill the bees, everyone dies. If you give the bees a home, the hockey team lives.
Yeah, we don't want to kill everybody.
It only makes sense.
We don't want to kill everybody. Sense. That would be bad. No.
It would be.
Well, we are almost through the first half hour here on the show.
I didn't expect to take up this much.
No, this is good. We had a good chat, though. I mean, this is what we always do.
Now we know what's happening on the East Coast.
We know how good the Islanders are going to be, because they don't have to worry about wasting all that money on Panarin, and they'll go to the playoffs again next year, so...
We'll see what Nick Leddy can get back in the trade.
There you go.
That's what I'm sitting around for. No, still. I'm not. I'm not sitting around. The Nats are no longer sucking, and it's kind of nice out, and we got summer camp every day.
I was going to say, you got kids.
I got to go to summer camp on Tuesday because my son's group went to the museum. That's like next door to my office.
I was going
to
say, you have kids. You don't get to sit around. That's just the way it works.
No, I don't, Beans. Yeah. No, I don't.
I know.
Neither do you.
I feel you, man.
That is awesome. John, we're gonna give you the last minute here. Anything else you want to promote, talk about for the Islanders before we let you get going?
Or anything else?
No. I'm good.
You're good? Good.
I'm good. I gotta keep working on dinner here.
All right.
And tiny people covered in cream cheese.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Okay, go fix that then.
The best people I know. Tiny people covered in cream cheese.
The good little people that you got to take care of there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Next time there's an update, John, we'll get you back on. We'll talk to you as soon as we can about all the stuff that's going on in Belmont, okay?
Absolutely. Good talking to you guys.
Right on. Talk to you soon, man.
Later.
So there's John out in D.C., who's our resident Islanders, not anywhere near the island, but our resident Islanders fan, which is awesome.
That side of the world.
Yeah, which is always good. We got about 2 minutes before the break. I'm going to roll over just a couple of things that we want to throw some congratulations out to. First off, congratulations go out to Manitoba native and former Olympian, one of the best defensemen to ever come out of this province, Delaney Collins. Delaney Collins got married last weekend, if you don't know to whom. She was married to Nashville-based musician Isaac Matthews. So Delaney Collins off the market, everybody. Good for her. Congratulations.
She is married.
She is married.
Oh, sorry. She is married, yes. So Delaney got married last weekend, which leads us into this weekend, where another Olympian's getting married, as Olympian and Manitoban Bailey Bram will be getting married this upcoming weekend. So congratulations to Bailey as well in terms of her marriage. That's always good to see in terms of...
Is that a segue into anything?
No.
You didn't want to segue it.
What was I segueing
into?
Into
Sammy Joe Smalls.
No. We'll come back to that. That's part of the promotion at the end. We'll talk about that, though. Also want to throw out, if you're not busy this weekend, and we'll promote this again at the end of the show, if not busy this weekend, specifically tomorrow, if you're not busy, Aaron Asham and the City of Portage of Prairie are going to be hosting Aaron's Chance to Play tomorrow. It's a golf tournament that happens every year that raises money. Ron McLean is the guest speaker at the dinner tonight out in Portage of Prairie. The golf tournament raises funds in support of Child and Family Services in Manitoba, where Chance to Play pays full hockey registrations. They pay every last dime for kids in the Central Plains Minor Hockey Association. Yes. So you can apply. It's all confidential. There are no names given out. They award the bursaries and the registrations to people without releasing any the information about the people. They don't even publish names on who gets them. They do all of that good stuff. If you want, though, if you're interested, some hockey legends are in town in Portage tomorrow if you want to go see them golf. Aaron Asham will be there. Obviously, he's hosting the tournament. Terry Ryan, former guest, former first-round pick, former Montreal Canadian, former guest we had on this show, as I was saying. Author Terry Ryan as well, as he wrote a great book. He'll be there. Ron McLean's obviously going to be there. There's going to be a pile more. Tourney's being played tomorrow at the Portage Golf Club. So if you want to go out and watch a little golf action tomorrow, should be a nice day from what they're saying, too. Yeah, go out there and see the pros and see how they do.
No rain in the forecast. forecast.
See if there's any hackers and duffers out there you can go take a look at.
It's
but
the best kind of golf, right?
Huge effort by Aaron Asham to get this going and certainly to raise money, which is always nice to see in terms of getting more kids into hockey, especially the kids in minor hockey as well. So good on him. So we'll bring that up at the end of the show again there. But we're gonna kick into the ID here, the little halfway break for us right now. We'll be back in about 12 seconds, everybody, after the legal ID here on the Hockey Show, 101.5 UMFM.
Hi, my name is Dick Valentine. I'm in a band called Electric Six. You're listening to CJUM, CJUM, 101.5 University of Manitoba.
That's all
Manitoba.
It takes.
Folks.
Oh, there you go. Wait. That's all it takes. There you go.
The CJUM.
I was going to say, I thought it was running out, but there's one more Manitoba in there. Let's get into the free agency stuff. A lot of people, a lot of moves, a lot of things that have happened since we got everything going. We'll start actually with maybe a few trades. Latest trade that went through, Artem Anisimov goes from the Blackhawks to the Senators for Zach Smith. Thoughts on the trade?
Just a one-for-one. Guys needing a new scene, and I think that's all pretty much what it was. I know Ottawa talked about getting Zach Smith last year. There was talks about him getting out of Ottawa last year.
Was he one of the guys in the Uber?
He might have been.
I can't remember. But, I mean, I think it was talks last year they tried to trade Zach Smith near the deadline.
Yeah, sure.
They never got rid of him.
So. Senators needed some salary as well. They acquired a big salary in Anisimov. Going the other way, obviously, Smith is a decent centerman, can certainly play a little bit. Anisimov, decent centerman as well.
Yeah.
One for one, straight up, seems like a pretty fair deal for both teams, I would say.
I have to admit, I haven't heard much from Asimov. I don't know what he's doing.
Anisimov was playing second line last year on the same line as Patrick Kane, so he was the centerman for the Patrick Kane line. So, or first whatever when he was opposite basically Jonathan Toews wherever that was. So
there's not much happening out of Chicago if your name's not Patrick Kane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go back to a few days here. Buffalo Sabres acquire Henry Jokiharju from Chicago for forward Alex Nylander in a trade that absolutely baffles me from the Blackhawks side. I have no idea.
I think
idea.
They're trying to pull another Dylan Strome. They're looking for a youngster who needs a change of scenery,
It might be a little bit more pressing than that, and I'll go into that in a second. But to give up Jokiharju for a guy who hasn't really played a lot, as of right now, Chicago only has 10 forwards under contract on the NHL side.
They've gotten rid of a lot of one-for-one deals this offseason.
They've traded a lot of defensemen as well, which is a problem. I mean, they had some defensemen to move, but they have no forwards left either. They brought in Olli Mäta for Brennan Kozun, who looked like he was going to end up on that top line, or on one of those two, top six or whatever. They got rid of a couple of good forwards and ended up only having 10 NHL rostered forwards. So they needed to bring somebody in to start filling out their roster. Alex Nylander is a fairly cheap solution. He's less than $1 million. Jokiharju, again, I would love to have seen him be traded to Winnipeg, for example, but the Sabres are going to have themselves a solid defensive core next year.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
Who's the other defenseman besides Olli Mäta that they brought in?
Calvin DeHaan, which we'll talk about shortly. Colorado Avalanche on July 1st made the big splash on free agency day. They dealt Tyson Barrie, Alexander Kerfoot, and a sixth-round pick to the Maple Leafs for Nazem Kadri, Cali Rosen, and a third-round pick. I'm going to say right now, I like what Colorado did here.
You like the pickup of Nazem Kadri?
Tyson Barrie, in terms of the way that he's played, fantastic. Good defenseman. He's not gonna make anybody disappointed in Toronto. No. Kerfoot, okay, he had a good season last year. You know, he's trending upward, which is okay. Cali Rosen is going to be a phenomenal young defenseman. Or at least he looks like he is with the Marlies. And Nazem Kadri gives them that bite that they didn't have last year.
That number two center.
That guy that's just going to sandpaper you into the wall every chance he gets and then comes out and pokes home a goal or two.
Yeah.
I like this move for Colorado, especially in the Central Division right now.
I like this move for the Leafs. I thought that was it felt like they had to get rid of Kadri, and they got back something to fill out, lower their cap space, fill out they needed another defenseman to get in there.
For people that want to rail on Kadri for that whole thing that happened in the Boston series, I'm not going to put the Boston series on cut. Yes, it was a dumb move. Yes, it deserved the suspension. Oh, no. Yes, nobody's
I don't think the series was on that one play. It was more just.
But I look at this at the Leafs now, and I just go, I don't really have anybody I fear on that roster when it comes to going into the corner with somebody. Yeah, Kadri go into the corner and kick you in the groin and then walk away with a smile on his face. Like, that's the kind of player he is. I don't see that from anybody else on the Leafs right now.
Yeah, and if you wanted a guy like Tyson Barrie, you had a guy like Tyson Barrie and Jake Gardner. I think Jake Gardner is a very similar player.
Fantastic,
to Tyson Barrie. So, I mean, they lost Jake Gardner. They're giving, well, they haven't
I know
lost
what they're
Jake
doing.
Gardner
the left-right, the left-right thing that Babcock is so hard up on. Like, Muzzin and Barrie could be your top two defenders next year and paired together, which would be a great combination. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
But I just look at this and I go, Leafs don't scare me anymore. Like, there's nobody on that team that there's no sandpaper, there's no grit. And I get that it's a skilled league now. You're basing everything on skill, but Nadri had the skill as well. Or Kadri had the Nadri. Kadri had the skill as well.
But you look at teams that they have to play teams like Boston and the Islanders, who are that gritty team that they will not get past in the playoffs.
Well, you mean
if
you
they
at,
meet them.
You look at the way Tampa Bay got rolled over by a gritty team in Columbus.
Yeah, so it's still, when it comes to making the playoffs and winning in the playoffs, you still need that sandpaper, that grit, and the Leafs. Yeah, like you said, the Leafs have gotten rid of it. So,
Buffalo Sabres acquired Jimmy Vesey from the New York Rangers in exchange for a third round pick. Buffalo went after him before he got traded to New York. So, this is basically Jason Botterill making up on lost time. It sounds like,
yeah, giving him a second chance again. He
changes scenery.
Guy that hasn't lived up to expectations. So.
The other trade that Toronto made on July 1st involved the Ottawa as defenseman Nikita Zaitsev, forward Connor Brown, forward Michael Carcione, whatever his name is. Anyway, he's for defenseman Cody Ceci, defenseman Ben Harper, forward Aaron Luchuk, and a third round pick. I actually think that on the whole, I think that this is actually a good deal for Toronto.
I think it's a good deal for both teams.
I'm not sold on Zaitsev yet. Connor Brown's a good pickup.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that Ben Harper was one of the guys that got thrown in. Ben Harper could be your three or four defenseman next year, and nobody will even see it coming. He's a great young defenseman. CC, whatever. He is what he is.
Yeah, I think the Leafs were really high on getting Cody CC. I think that was a big part of the deal.
But I think the Connor Brown, Ben Harper side of it, I think that was a pretty even flip. It's the Zaitsev CC where both teams want to get rid of a problem.
Yeah, exactly. CC doesn't want to be there. Zaitsev doesn't want to be there. Might as well flip them across the lake there and see what happens. So,
June 30th, Ducks acquired Nicholas Deslauriers from the Canadiens. Not a really big deal on that. Just as sounds like a minor league pick basically for the Ducks in terms of getting that going. Chicago, though, on the 30th, made a deal. Andrew Shaw goes to Chicago for a second round pick, basically.
I'm surprised that Montreal gave up on Shaw. Like, was he not happy there? Was there?
I think it was about opening up the cap space to go after Aho on free agency day, and then now they have the cap space, they still can play with it if they want to. But I think it was to try and open up that. To me, it looks like they were trying to open up the cap space to be able to go out and get what they needed or get what they wanted.
And like we were saying, Chicago's looking for forwards. So.
Right. So Andrew Shaw was the guy they added.
Yeah,
Carolina Hurricanes acquired Manitoba-born James Reimer from the Florida Panthers to open the way for, obviously, on free agency day for the big signing they made there. In exchange for goalie Scott Darling.
Who they bought out.
The Panthers immediately bought out, yeah.
Yeah.
How fast they fall,
yeah,
right?
His career ended when he left Chicago.
Yeah. That whole thing didn't go well. Yeah. I think Reimer in Carolina is going to be interesting next year. I think he's going to be a good he'll push Peter Mrazek really well.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with this.
Is McElhinney still there?
No, McElhinney signed a backup deal. We'll talk about that in a second because I think he got a really good deal out of that. June 29th, the biggest sort of move on the board, I would say, that happened and sort of shook everybody up and got everything going. Arizona Coyotes acquire Phil Kessel, Dane Burks, and a fourth-round pick from Pittsburgh in exchange for Alex Galchenyuk and Pierre-Olivier Joseph.
I like this for Pittsburgh. Like, I think everybody is really high on Kessel, but
he's getting up there.
He's
in
getting
age.
Up there. Yeah. Got younger, and that's what Pittsburgh does. Everybody seems to get what Pittsburgh's doing until they change things up. Either they bring in some rookies or they make a trade for to change the chemistry of the team, and then they go on run or just sort of surprise everybody because they're not the same team. They thought everybody knew what to expect, and then it's like, yeah, I know what Malkin's going to do. I know what Crosby's going to do. They're elite. But then what do they put around them? They put Tanev, they put Galchenyuk, and I like what they did in the offseason. I'm looking to see some surprises from Pittsburgh where everybody's not going to know what to expect. And I mean, they're going to know Crosby, they're not going to know Malkin, but what else is there?
Yeah. I'll say this. If Galchenyuk thinks he's playing center, he's playing third line center, which he won't like because he didn't want to play that when he was with Montreal. If he's going to play the wing, he better learn how to skate. Because that's not going to work if he's just going to cruise through the neutral or through the offensive zone like he did this year. I will say though, I do like Galchenyuk coming in there. I think Galchenyuk changes the way that team plays a little bit. Yeah. The one thing I don't like though is giving up all the offense. Phil has the fourth highest number of goals since 2010 in the NHL, behind Ovechkin, behind Stamkos, and behind I can't remember.
Getting rid of salary too, right? That's the big
thing. The big thing was salary though, and that's the big catch on that. So Pittsburgh was in on Galchenyuk before Montreal traded him. They were trying to acquire him from Montreal. So again, this looks like a making up time sort of deal. The other thing though that's happened now that Phil's in Arizona, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but Phil the Thrill is now Phil the Ticketing Manager. I'm not sure if you guys caught this.
I've heard that. Yes,
Phil, since being traded to Arizona, the Coyotes have seen an incredible amount of tickets sold. They have 94% renewal rate in their season tickets already. Cubs' highest mark since moving to Glendale in 2003-2004. Highest ever. So fans who had tickets are coming back. Here's where things change, though. And this is incredible. Season ticket sales, according to the Republic newspaper in Arizona, a reporter by the name of Richard Morin writes, quote, season ticket sales are up 600% compared to the same week last summer, including a 550% increase in all ticket sales. Coyotes have also seen an increase in their website traffic, mobile app visits, and social media engagement over that time. On top of that, they put out this package called the Weekender, which allows people to buy season tickets to only the Friday, Saturday, Sunday games. That number, which is also ridiculous, this Weekender season ticket package, has gone up 184% since Phil got there.
So it doesn't sound like it's a Phil thing. It's more of a stability and marketing thing. They've aimed at the market, and the market looks at the stability. Okay, there's an owner now. It's not a league team. It's like things are settling in. They see the Phil thing. That adds to it. But they're also, I can just buy weekend games. I think
people want a winner, and that's the key. And
they also want stability. They don't want a loosey-goosey team. They want to see that there's something. When they thought that they were going to move for all those years, as like, oh, they're coming to Winnipeg, oh, they're going to Quebec, oh, they go to Kansas City, oh, they're going to Seattle, why bother? Now there's a little bit more stability, and the market is like, well, let me get in on this.
But this is the problem, though, with Glendale that people don't see, is that Glendale has been there forever. Like, it's not moving, and nobody is ever going to let it move because Gary Bettman is sold on that. This is where they're going to be. Yes, they want a new arena. Yes, they know they need to move to Phoenix in order to get a better arena deal. That is no secret in terms of any of the media that they've been in. The thing, though, and here's where the catch is. The thing is, this team almost made the playoffs last year, and they had nobody playing.
Yeah.
They had significant injuries. They had a bunch of guys up from Tucson. They went 3-4-3 in a key 10-game stretch in March, scoring two goals or less in 8 of those 10 games, and would have made the playoffs ahead of the Minnesota Wild had it not been for that 3-4-3 record down the stretch.
So the excitement is there. The other thing is, what's the closest market to Glendale? Is it Las Vegas?
It is Vegas, yeah.
And well, what's happened in Vegas? The attention's gone up there. So people in between those two markets was like, the attention in that area in general has gone up. The team's gone better. There's a new market really close by. Hockey's is building in just attention on its own. So I think it's wrong to say that Phil Kessel is the reason the ticket sales are are going up. It's just one part of a larger picture.
Sure, but since he's been acquired, 600% in the last 2 weeks. Like, that's a monstrous amount of growth.
And on social media, I've just been seeing, like, pretty much every tweet or anything that comes from the Arizona Coyotes, their fan base, it's all about Phil. It's all about Phil Kessel. Phil Kessel jerseys, Phil Kessel this, Phil Kessel that. I think if Arizona knew this was going to happen, they would have done it years ago.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But that's the thing, though. You get a bona fide scoring star who's got a little cup, who's got a little success on his side. Yeah.
Here's a question: what's going to be the most popular item at the food vendor?
Hot dog.
The hot dog.
Oh,
the
for
Phil
sure.
Kessel. Yeah, I'll have a Phil Kessel.
Exactly.
Please.
It'll be the Phil Kessel hot dog for sure.
Yeah. Extra Kessel.
June 28th, Sabres acquired defenseman Colin Miller from the Golden Knights in exchange for basically salary cap relief.
Yeah,
I like what Buffalo did there. Colin Miller is going to be an excellent addition to that defensive core.
I wouldn't mind having him here. Colin Miller.
Exactly.
Here.
Colorado Avalanche on the same day, June 28th, acquired forward Andre Burakovsky from the Washington Capitals for minor league forward and former Winnipeg Jet / Manitoba Moose Scott Kosmachuk.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of picks. Again, just a salary cap move in terms of getting that going. Carolina Hurricanes acquire forward Eric Halla, which I wish Winnipeg would have picked up from the Vegas Golden Knights in exchange for forward Nicholas Roy.
Added another fin to the list.
I love Eric Halla plays that good, solid game.
It would
game.
Have been a good pickup for a replacement of Brandon Tanev.
There you go.
Good.
And then the Arizona Coyotes acquire forward Carl Soderberg from the Colorado Avalanche. Again, a good pickup for defenseman Kevin Connaughton, who used to play with the Moose here and when he was with the Vancouver Canucks. Yeah. Blackhawks acquire Calvin DeHaan for Alexi Sorella from Carolina for goaltender Anton Forsberg and defenseman Gustav Forsling.
Yeah, there's some more defense they got rid of.
I get Gustav Forsling has no place to play this year if they bring in Calvin DeHaan, but I don't think they need Calvin DeHaan. That's the thing. They didn't really need him in the first place. Forsberg, okay, fine. You're helping up the Hurricanes because they lost a bunch of minor league goaltenders after the Checkers won. And Sorella is going to be going to come in and play at some point, but...
I think they want some defense minutes chomped up because didn't Seabrook weren't they hurt last? That their top pairing,
Seabrook was for a while. Keith played but didn't play effectively. So.
Yeah, so I think they need a stronger second pair that can eat up minutes. And the change. They need a change on their defense.
Their top guys are getting to the end of their road and they don't got much left, but they still got those contracts they got to eat up. So
I think they've also, I was reading, they have some defensive prospects who are like a year or two away that they're okay waiting for and they give
have one more year like they did last year.
Yeah.
At the draft, Devils acquire PK Subban for... basically nobody, relieving Nashville of that
two second rounders, I believe.
Conditional first round and a seventh round. Oh, sorry. Second and a second in 2019, second in 2020, and then a couple of players, which, again, nobody really is going to matter about.
But that was also to make room to sign Duchesne.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole idea.
And they had a ton of defensemen there that they...
Yeah.
Hurricanes solve the Maple Leafs salary cap problems on June 22nd when they acquire Patrick Marleau, along with a conditional first-round pick and a seventh-round pick in exchange for a sixth-round pick.
And then they bought out Marleau, right?
Right. They bought out Marleau. Marleau is now looking for a home. And the Vancouver Canucks acquired JT Miller from Tampa Bay for Merrick Mazanik, number 17 and whatever pick, and it's a conditional first round pick in 2020, which I like only because, again, JT Miller makes Vancouver a lot harder to play against.
Yeah.
Other than that, those are all the big trades.
But does Tyler Myers make Vancouver easier to play?
We're going to get to that. A couple of signings that have happened, especially we'll go run through these quickly. Anaheim added Michael Delzato and former NHL defenseman Chris Weidman, who was playing in the minors last year. A couple of depth signings, it sounds like, more than anything. Josh Archibald, formerly of the Coyotes, goes over to the Edmonton Oilers on a one-year deal.
As Oilers did nothing.
No. Ryan DeZingle, though, goes to Carolina. Do you like that deal? Two-year deal worth 3.375.
Tons of talent in Carolina right now offensively, so Ryan DeZingle only adds to that talent they have there.
For sure. Michael Ferland goes to Vancouver. 3.5 years, four-year deal. $3.5 million, over a four-year deal. $14 million total.
That's not bad. I mean, again, he had some grit. He had some size. He's put the puck in that a few times last year with
Carolina.
So,
there's a lot of youngsters in Vancouver.
I think Vancouver helps. Did not get worse this offseason.
Marcus Johansson goes from Boston to Buffalo. former Washington Capital, Marcus Johansson.
Buffalo's going to be good, I think.
Buffalo's
interesting this
making
year.
Some good moves.
I don't know if they'll be good. They'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Because Botterill's changing the chemistry, competitive.
They stayed. They were young last year, but they stayed young, but they got better talent-wise. I think they brought in
a bunch of good defense.
They brought some good defensemen in. So I think they are on the brink of a playoff
And they re-signed Jeff Skinner, who broke the 40-goal mark. So, I mean, that's a huge chunk of
their
offense.
They are on the brink of a playoff. So,
Nick Cousins goes to Montreal. I think he's a good depth signing there. Ben Chiarot goes to Montreal. Enjoy your pylon.
C'est la vie.
Enjoy your pylon, Montreal.
Yeah.
Kerfoot and CeCe both signed by Toronto in terms of going there. Anthony Stolarz from Philadelphia goes over to Anaheim, possibly a backup there.
Who's going to back up Carter Hart?
Brian Elliott, I think, is still there.
Is he going to be there backing up or starting?
I'm probably backing up at this point. I wouldn't start him if I had Carter Hart at my disposal.
I was going to say, can we add to the list of goalies that are going to be in Philadelphia?
We could, but it's a graveyard there. Mark Letestu comes to Winnipeg.
The funny thing is, Mark Letestu, every time he played the Jets, he was just...
Oh, he destroyed the Jets.
So maybe they're thinking, if he plays for the Jets...
One less problem to worry about.
I mean, he's going to be a moose. I'm sure he's going to be a moose.
Oh, he'll be the veteran down there.
He'll be one of the first call-ups when they need it. But.
Jets also signed defenseman Anthony Boteto from the Predators/Wild.
Another depth move.
For those looking to get jerseys, if you're interested, Boteto's going to wear number 2. Mark Letestu has committed to number 22. And Sammy Niku has changed his number.
Yep.
Sammy will wear former Jacob Trouba number 8.
Yeah. Well, I think that was his number, but he couldn't wear it.
Because somebody Trouba else had it. So if you're looking to get your jerseys updated, folks, Sammy Niku's wearing 8 this year.
And I mean, making that call of he's wearing 8, it kind of sounds like Sammy Niku's going to be a Jet this year.
Possibly.
I'm guessing, I mean.
Winnipegger, it's nice to see him get signed. Brendan Leipzig goes to the Washington Capitals. Good deal there.
How come he can't stick on a team? He's either traded or just...
I don't know. He's got one of those
fringe players.
Yeah, he's got one of those contracts that's super friendly for everybody, so everybody just takes a shot on him.
Yeah, he's a fringe player. Like he'll be one of your first call ups if there's an injury, but he's mostly
the thing
an
is he's not called up. He's on the team most of the time.
But that's the thing. Yeah. So he played with LA last year. At 62 games, 7 goals, 16 assists. Like he's got a cap friendly contract.
He was traded. He played another team. Was it Vancouver last year?
He was all over the place.
I know.
He's been all over the place.
Varlamov and Lehner, as we said, switch spots. Lehner, I don't know if they're looking for him to pick up the slack from Crawford, because Crawford's been so often injured this last couple of years. I think they did a good job. I don't know if the defense is going to be the same as what they saw in on the island anyway, but we'll have to see, I guess, with Lehner in terms of the way he's going.
Yeah, that was an interesting move. I mean, I guess they're thinking that if Crawford has another injury laden season, he did, you're going to see a guy like Robin Lehner be their starting goalie. I mean, or their platooning, because now you got two starting goalies. You got two Vezina goalies.
Well, Vezina, one guy who
Crawford won a Vezina.
I don't believe he did.
No, he didn't get well. But Vezina, at least he was probably up for a Vezina. But I mean, I think it's going to be an interesting situation there. One goalie is, I think, not going to be happy.
They'll start the season fighting it out.
Yeah. Former Winnipeg Jet trade deadline acquisition, Par Lindholm, goes to Boston.
Go have fun.
Good for you. Coyotes brought him back from the KHL. Former Pittsburgh Penguin, Bo Bennett.
Oh, really? I didn't hear about that one.
Matty Duchene, $8 million per season for 7 years down in Nashville. Nashville has problems down the middle right now because Johansson, Turris, and Duchene are there until basically retirement.
I hear they're shopping Turris.
I'm not sure you're going to get the same return from Turris.
It's going to be a PK Subban moment.
It'll literally be a salary dump, and somebody will have to take a chance on
Unless that or they're saying, hey, one of you guys,
I thought played wing before.
Can you go down the wing? I'd throw a guy like Johansson in center and play him with Duchene on a wing. I mean, Duchene's got the speed; he can play a wing over Turris or or Johansson, because they're both slow type guys.
Sure.
Very quick guys. So I think you can see a guy like Duchesne maybe moving to the wing.
We have 5 minutes left. I'm going to run off just a couple more names here. Curtis McElhinney signs in Tampa Bay to be the backup to Vasilevsky. I like that deal for McElhinney. $1.3 million over a couple of years. That's a good deal.
And I think what Tampa does need is they need a guy that's going to take 30 games away and let him, Vasilevsky, have a break, because we see what happens when you don't have enough breaks during the season.
Yeah, for sure. Wayne Simmonds goes to the Devils on a 1 year, $5 million hit. I don't know if that's the greatest deal, but Wayne Simmonds has a chance to have a big bounce back year now in terms of dealing with that.
He's on a team that's building. So
Marcus Granlund, former Vancouver Canuck, goes to the Oilers. Which I don't know if it makes the Oilers any better, to be honest.
No. Kind of, they stay on that plateau.
Pierre-Edward Belmar from the Vegas Golden Knights goes to the Colorado Avalanche. Again, a good signing for a bottom six.
Yeah, they've brought in some good grit. They're going to be good this year.
I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. Yeah. Tyler Ennis last year with the Maple Leafs goes to the Ottawa Senators. I think that's a decent depth signing for them in terms of getting stuff going. Luke Shen ends up in Tampa Bay. I don't know if that's really a good deal, but
again, I think Tampa Bay is looking for depth.
Again, the Avalanche adding Jonas Donskoy from the Sharks. Again, another guy that's willing to go into the corners.
Yep.
Colorado is going to surprise a lot of people. Washington gave Richard Panik way too much money for 4 years to go play there.
That was, yeah.
Especially when Brett Connolly would have cost them all of $2 million more, and he went down to Florida.
Yeah. And then you got rid of Barkovsky there.
Yeah, Barkovsky, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
Gustav Nyquist lands in Columbus as their sort of big deal. Curtis Lazar goes to Buffalo. I like Curtis Lazar. I wish he would have came here and played here, but whatever.
There's Buffalo getting better.
Yeah.
Corey Perry ends up in Dallas. That's going to be a dangerous Dallas team, too. Yeah. Corey Perry's got to learn how to skate again, but if he can, he'll be fine.
And that's kind of Corey Perry I think he's an upgrade from Jason Spezza, but we haven't seen the same Corey Perry in a while.
But you got another guy down there who's going to help out big time in Joe Pavelski.
Yeah.
And then you got another guy down there who basically got bought out and is going to try and revitalize his career. Andre Sequeira goes to Dallas as well.
They're quite old.
Sequeira's only 33. Pavelski's only 35. And Perry's only 34.
Yeah.
They've got one or two good years if you're going to try and squeeze them out in that. All three of those guys sign 1 year deals. Pavelski signed a 3 year deal.
You do have some of the best young defensemen in the game, too.
Dallas is one of my favorites for what they did. Not much, but enough.
Dallas is improved.
Central is going to be crazy scary this year.
If you get out of there, good for you guys, because it's going to be just a pain in the rear to get out of.
Yeah.
A couple quick notes before we get out of here. Jets renewed their ECHL affiliation with Jacksonville Iceman today, so no surprise there. They have a pretty good relationship going there. Seattle named Ron Francis as their first ever GM today. Mm. Which I think is a good signing. He's got a Hockey Canada contacts. He's got NHL contacts.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, he kind of got the shaft in Carolina. He didn't really deserve it, but he got it.
Former Jet Anthony Pelusa signed with the AHL's Bakersfield Condors. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
David Bondra, Peter Bondra's son, signed a PTO with Kunlun Red Star Beijing in the KHL. He played with Poprad in the Slovakian League last year, so Peter Bondra's son may be making
some
noise.
The Bondra name is coming back.
A big congrats go out to Jetta Ratcliffe and Team USA for their third consecutive gold medal at the Inline World Hockey Championships. They won 3-1 over the Czech Republic in the final. She made 27-28 saves. She's a former guest on this show. The U.S. men also won. Canadian men came in fourth. Canadian women came in sixth. Why are we mentioning this? Because Canadian women had a Bison playing for them.
Ooh.
Emily Masse played for them, and Emily did fairly well, actually, in terms of her debut over there. Well, it's not debut, but certainly one of her summer pickups there in terms of playing a little inline hockey. 5 goals, 4 assists, 4 penalty minutes in 6 games. She had a goal and an assist in a 6-2 win over Japan. 4 goals and 2 assists in a 13-0 trouncing of India.
That's all her points in that game.
Didn't score against Spain in a 2-1 win. Didn't score versus Sweden in an 8-0 rout of the Swedes. Went to the quarterfinals, had 1 assist in a 3-2 shootout loss. Excuse me, in the quarterfinals against Italy, and then didn't score versus Finland in the 5-6 game in the 6-1 loss for there. Mm-hmm. She did tie, though, for second in scoring on the Canadian team, so good for her. So that's a big note there. former Oiler Bruin Canuck Ryan Spooner signed with HV Lugano in the Swiss League. Flyers announced that Chris Stewart, longtime NHLer who played with the Nottingham Panthers last season in the English Ice Hockey League, will attend training camp on a professional tryout. Brandon Wheatkings named a new head coach today, Dave Lowry. Former NHLer Dave Lowry will take over as the 23rd head coach in Brandon Wheatkings' history.
He was assistant coach in L.A. last year?
Somewhere out there.
I think it was L.A.
So he'll move a little. He'll move a little closer to his son Adam.
Yep.
Playing in Winnipeg here. Wheatkings also got a new video board. Screens are 9 feet tall by 16.54 feet wide. It's a monstrous scoreboard, and it'll replace the old scoreboard that was hung in 2010 prior to the Memorial Cup happening in Brandon. It will be unveiled on September 20th, 2019, when the Winnipeg Ice visit for the home opener against Brandon, which is awesome to see.
There you go.
Brandon Bochenski, who returned to Bears Astana last season after semi-retiring following an injury the year prior. He is officially retired. He leaves the KHL as the seventh highest scorer in league history. He was a former Boston Bruin, former Ottawa Senator, I believe.
Yep.
He will be joining Berkshire Hathaway Home Services in Grand Forks in his pre-retirement career.
There you go.
So there you go. If you're living in Grand Forks, you can talk to Brandon Bochenski a little bit if you want to do that. We virtually are out of time. I just want to bring out one more thing that we have here. If you heard, we talked a little bit about it earlier in the year. Obviously, it was pretty sad. Wayne Descower, who's a monstrous supporter of the Charleswood Hawks and the MMJHL, he passed away. Dude does a ton of work for minor hockey in this province, or did a ton of work for minor hockey. City of Winnipeg is going to officially unveil the honorary Wayne Descower Way on Wednesday, July 24th, 2019 at 2:30 p.m. on the corner of Oakdale Drive and Coy Avenue, right down from Eric Coy Arena. So nice to see them stepping up and getting that done as well. And a little bit of sad news before we leave. Former Predators captain, longtime NHLer Greg Johnson, 48-year-old Greg Johnson, dead from an apparent suicide. While not explicitly stated as a cause, Johnson had multiple concussions during his NHL hockey career, and there's some people trying to push for his wife to donate his brain to science. So we'll see what happens there.
Too bad.
Not good at all. Last thing, as we get out of here, I've got to get in. We've got to let Skippy take over on his show now as we get everything going there.
Segway.
Next week, going to be at the Gateway Arena for Sammy Joe's Small Hockey Camp. We're going to talk to her and talk to other people that are out there. So stay tuned for that, folks, next week. Also, again, want to mention, if you're out in Portage la Prairie tomorrow, Aaron Asham in the city of Portage la Prairie hosting Aaron's Chance to Play, which raises money for Child and Family Services in Manitoba, where Chance to Play pays for full hockey registrations for kids in the Central Plains Minor Hockey Association. If you can go, throw some money at that because it's a good cause. And with that, anything you gentlemen want to say before we get out of here?
I'm amazed at how much work the GMs have to do in free agency now compared to even 10 years ago.
It's a totally different game now, right?
And how retooled so many of these teams are.
Yep.
It happens every year now. Yep. It seems to anyway, with all the stats and advanced stats and everything that's going on. Beans?
Hey, and don't turn that dial. You got Free Range Radio with Skippy.
There you go.
Coming up next.
Free Range Radio happened right away. We're going to end the show again with Ed Sheeran. Here is this new one, Blow, with Chris Stapleton and Bruno Mars here on Hockey Show 101.5 UMFM. You're doing something to me.